Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Kid Street Noise. As always, I'm joined by my brother Lewis, and for once in a long while, we've got a guest. We are welcome Jacob Reddy to the podcast.
Hello.
How are you, Jacob? You all right?
I'm very good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Did you have a good Christmas?
Oh, I did. It's been a very fun Christmas. I've eaten too much food, but it's been very good.
Yeah. Bet you've been very busy as well, haven't you? I've seen on Instagram all the...
It's not been much of a holiday, but you know, it's all been good fun. And as I say, I've eaten a lot of food, so it's been a good Christmas.
Good stuff. So yeah, to everyone listening and watching, this one will be going out on YouTube. So to everyone watching, Happy New Year. Hope you enjoyed it. I think everyone enjoyed it a bit too much, because the 12 o'clock kickoff on Sunday... Monday?
Sunday, wasn't it?
Was absolutely dead.
Yeah.
Like, I text a couple of lads that we go down with, like, I'm going to drive down today, lads. Does anyone want a lift? And they're just like, no. Just going to watch it at pub. Although, might see you after. Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of people out on, like, in the Facebook group and on Twitter after the game saying like, how bad the atmosphere was. And I was just like, I think like, everyone just wanted to chill. Like, everyone just sat there raging hangovers.
Yeah, even when we scored, it was like, don't shout too loud. Yeah, not into this. But yeah, we'll go straight into the football. We want to talk about our guests. Like, we obviously asked you to come on because we're all excited. You were definitely excited to reveal your new single, Ewood Lights.
Yeah.
So we'll just ask you a couple of questions. So what was your introduction to music? Have you always been musically talented? Has it just been like something recent, or has it been like a lifelong thing?
I've always loved music. The first time I ever started playing guitar was actually when I was seven. I went to my uncle's wedding, and they had a band playing. They were a band called the Indie Killers, and my brain's still not turned on properly yet. But yeah, they were there. the Indie Killers, and they were absolutely incredible. And I stayed up and I watched them all night long, And then after the gig, the lead singer called Demo, he came up to me and he said to me, I should get a guitar for Christmas, and I got a guitar for Christmas. And then when I was 7 years old, I started having lessons, and I've kind of been playing since then. And then when I got to 14, I got an acoustic guitar, and then started, I guess, working on my own stuff. And I guess that's when I started maybe taking it a bit more seriously, I guess.
Yeah, but rather than just playing for fun, you think like this could be like a legitimate career path for you, like being a musician full time, really. So was your guitar your first instrument then? Have you always been a guitar player? Did you try anything else? Was a piano involved or anything like that?
Oh yeah, I mean, I think I first wanted to play drums, but my mum was like, "You're not having a drum kit in our house," so we quickly got rid of that one. She thought, "Get him an electric guitar," and then we'll take his amp away from him so we can't hear it in the house. I've always been playing guitar. That's been kind of the main thing for me for as long as I can remember, really.
Yeah, good stuff. So you said you met this band at the wedding, and they like told you to start playing guitar and getting into music. Who else was your inspirations growing up? Who were you like listening to at a young age? Who was your I want to be like them.
Well, I guess music is something I've got, like, so many people that I listen to. Look, my favourite musician of all time, he's one that I guess he's not too well known, but he's a guy called Frank Turner, and he's a singer songwriter, and he's like my biggest inspiration of all time. And and I guess he's who when I'm writing songs and stuff, who I take a lot of inspiration off and stuff like that. But then I guess when I was particularly younger, I guess all the biggest bands, like all the big rock bands and stuff, and that kind of thing, were who really got me to start playing music and stuff like that. Really,
yeah. I suppose you grew up through like quite a good era, like through the noughties with all the indie rock and roll stuff.
Yeah,
like,
I guess. Guitar. Yeah, and I think that's
the charts are full of it.
And that's I guess what I'm writing nowadays and stuff like that is kind of fits into that kind of sound and stuff like that. Really.
Yeah, so obviously you released a single. Is it Who You Are?
Yes. Who, yeah. Yeah.
You released that. Was that 2 months ago now?
Yes, a few months ago. Yeah.
Yeah, and you recorded the video in the is it Bold Venture Park up at Darwin?
Yeah, it's Sunny Years Woods. We went to film it. We did it. Yeah, at the bandstand, the area there, which was really good fun.
Yeah, and how have people received that so far? Has it all been good?
Yeah, I think people seem to have really enjoyed that song, and I guess it's kind of good to see for me that when I'm releasing more music, I guess there are more people who are enjoying it and stuff like that. And with that song, I guess that was a bit of a turn as well. It was a bit different to anything I'd done before. It was a bit more, I guess, rocky to my usual stuff, but people enjoyed it, which was good to see.
Yeah, I think especially like when you're getting local people involved in the video production as well. I think that can only be a good thing. You want the local area to get on your side when you think of like the people that I think of. I'm going to show really bad music knowledge now, but like people like Sam Fender were everyone from that round that area. And like you see a lot of, I'm trying to think of like big, like Kasabian, they have like a big Leicester following. You want that like local area to be almost like your biggest fans, like support you as well as the football club. So I think to get the local people involved, and then that obviously leads us into what's happened now with Ewood Lights. So I know I asked you a couple of questions at half time on Sunday, but do you want to tell like the full story of how it happened and how it came about?
Oh, it's still like the most, I guess, it is like the most crazy thing to ever happen to me, because obviously I've loved Blackburn and loved Blackburn Rovers for my whole life, really. But I got asked, it must have been maybe 2 months ago now or something, to play at the Fan Zone before kickoff, which in itself to me was like a crazy, crazy thing. So I went and did that, and I played some songs. And then basically from then, I got asked by the club to kind of ask if I'd be interested in working on writing a song basically for the football club. So I was like, I think I'll definitely say yes to that one. And it still seems crazy that they've asked me to do it. But then there it was, and I had the challenge of writing the song from there.
So did you have no song prepared whatsoever? Were it like, we want you to write a song for Rovers and you had to like blank pen and paper go for it? Or did you have something kind of in mind?
Yeah, it was basically just, I wasn't expecting anything. So then they came up to me and they asked me if I wanted to do it. And I didn't have anything planned. But I guess if you know what I mean, in some ways it was easier than writing a lot of songs, because I already had something I was writing about, and it was something that, I guess, something also that I'm passionate for writing about as well, if you know what I mean, and something I'm happy to write a song for, really.
Yeah, yeah. I think when you're writing from lifetime experiences, for someone so young, like, it's hard to write a song from scratch if you haven't experienced them things. But if you're writing about something that, like you said, you've grown up supporting and you love, there is like something to make it a lot. Obviously, it's never easy to write a song, but it does make it a little bit easier. So we've got some quick fire questions for you about Rovers, about your relationship with Rovers. So what was your first memory as a Rovers fan?
Oh, I've got... Do you know, it's a bit of a weird one, the first thing that comes to my head. Because weirdly enough, this is the second time I've sung on... Well, I didn't sing on, but been on the pitch at half-time. Because many, 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 many years ago, I was in the choir at Blackburn Cathedral. And we ended up at Ewood Park, I think, singing Christmas carols at half time. And I'd say that was the first thing that came into my head. And that was, there are some horrific pictures of that time because we had like these weird, like,
The full choir outfit on.
But yeah, and then like these little collars and this dress thing that we had to wear. But that was
Who was that against?
Oh, I can't even remember now. I think if you know the trouble, I feel like I was in like year three. I must have been like younger than 10 or something, so I don't remember it at all. And I was, you know what I mean? I was like a fan. I wasn't like a fan. I was just a kid who liked football, if you know what I mean.
Who liked football, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was your first kit, if you've had a kit?
I remember I saw a picture of me a few weeks ago with, I can't remember what it was now, but I found a picture of me when I must have been 5 years old in my Rovers kit, and I've got the picture in my head, but I can't remember which one it was. But it was a very long time ago. I think I must have been five or something, because it was at my old house before we moved many years ago.
First match that you went to?
First match that I'm absolutely rubbish at all these questions. They're all when I was very young and can't remember, if you know what I mean. I think that was the same time. I think I might have bought a kit. Or got a kit to go to my first match, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But I'd say when I was around about probably 5 years, but I guess about 5 years old, I think.
Who's your favourite all-time player?
My favourite all-time That's a very difficult question. You've got me very stumped on that one. I mean, obviously, the obvious shout Shearer, because he's the big legend. Obviously, yeah. I had Tony Parks, so he came on the music video, and that was very special. So I think I'll go for him.
Favorite current player.
I really like Kaminsky, because I think he's, if you know what I mean, I think he's, from a less biased, but one of the best in his position, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, we're very big fans of Kaminsky on the podcast. We say that he's probably too good for us, realistically. Yeah,
I'd say he's definitely up there, top keeper in the league.
Yeah.
I feel like he could probably get into a Premier League side if he
wanted to. Oh, yeah, 100%, definitely.
So I'd go Kaminsky just because I think he's the best in his in his position.
And the last one is your best memory.
Best memory. Would it be cheating to go on Sunday? Because I think that's got to be my best memory.
No, not at all.
I think I might be the only person actually in the whole, well, any Blackburn fan ever who was looking forward to Sunday. And
So talk about the day on Sunday then, like, how does it start? Obviously it was an early kickoff for us, but I'm assuming you'd got down there early. And
originally they said they wanted me there at 10:30, and I was like, that's very early on New Year's Day. and then they messaged me and said, can you get here at between 10:15? And I was like, that's very early on New Year's Day. But I got up nice and early, got out the house, had to make sure we had everything, and then I got there on time, which was surprising to everyone involved. Also, the whole family had to get up as well. No one was happy about it, but we were all happy. We weren't happy about the getting up early part, but we got there, and then I first played the song in the fan zone before the match. I just played the song once, and then got off inside, and even just playing the song outside and letting people hear it for the first time was a special one. And then it was inside the stadium, and obviously we went to watch the first half, and then about halfway, maybe 30 minutes in or something like that, there was it was really weird. I got almost taken out of my seat, if you know what I mean, and then taken through all these doors through the stadium, and it was like a maze going through, like heading through kitchen or whatever, and then eventually somehow ended up in the tunnel where I got to watch the last few minutes of the half, and then it was time to go on the pitch, and I've never been so nervous in my life, because especially with stuff like this, you never know how it's going to go and stuff like that, and obviously if that was a quieter day, it's still a lot of people there, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But I went out spoke about the song, and then the song got played, which was absolutely crazy. And it really was one of them kind of pinching myself kind of moments.
Yeah, like your song being played at halftime at Ewood. It was good. Yeah. I enjoyed it. I mean, it was quite quiet where we were stood in the Blackburn end.
Yeah.
We had to like listen to it once we got home because like I couldn't hear it.
I couldn't hear it at all because I had to basically, because obviously they didn't want me chilling around the tunnel for the whole match. So I had to head back through the stadium, and then by the time we got back, it finished. But for me, I cannot stand hearing myself. So that was quite good, actually.
Yeah, I suppose that. I think, like, I wonder if when you sing, you think you sound differently to what you would on a recording like that.
Yeah, I never like hearing myself in any way. Like whenever I finish a song, it's kind of like, right, that's okay. Let's send it off now. It's done. I don't need to listen to it again.
So it was with the podcast.
I'm the worst self promotion at myself in the world. If you know what I mean, it's rubbish. Don't listen to it.
Yeah, I think it was good. I think. Not that it helped, but I could imagine if there was like a sold out away end there. Like I think like the Middlesbrough game. Like, I think if you'd done it at half time, then I'd have just been absolutely. Because obviously we spoke quite a bit leading up to this, and I was like wishing you all luck and stuff. I just thought, and then when we were going down to the Middlesbrough game, I was like, I wonder if he's doing it at half time tonight. Because when I saw the away end, I just thought, please don't come out tonight because. Away fans can be cruel to the players, never mind to somebody coming on at half time.
Yeah, that, I've got to be honest, I was happy about it. And I guess it meant that I was, as I say, very nervous as it was. So if I was going out, like I said, the Forest game as well, I know that was a cup, but like, if there were like 6,000 or however many there were, I think
you're getting booed back off the pitch at half time.
Yeah, I'd have gone back in crying.
Yeah, but yeah, it was good, and I'm sure obviously it was a good experience for yourself as well. So what's your plans for the future from now? Is there going to be more things happening with Rovers? Are they going to be like joint venture for the future? Is there going to be constant promotion from them? Like,
I hope so. They say that they're going to add the song to the kind of short playlist, if you know what I mean. So hopefully it's going to be going to be played at the stadium most match days at home, and which is absolutely a crazy, crazy, crazy dream come true for me.
Better than Sweet Caroline, so we play the full time and we win.
I just hope it don't get to the stadium. Oh, not this one again. Turn it off. Sat next, but it was a but yeah, that's of, and then carrying on with my own music, and hopefully the people of Blackburn and the fans of the team and the club. Like the song and hopefully like my music and stuff like that. And I guess the plan from there is carry on gigging and stuff. I was thinking I might try and get some kind of, maybe in a few months' time, do some kind of gig in Blackburn, maybe alongside the club or something like that to have as a bit of a, I don't really know yet. It's kind of coming off the top of my head almost, but something with the club in Blackburn, some kind of show. But yeah, see what happens.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to it anyway. So yeah, to the football. So Cardiff at home. We've already.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Spoke about it being an early kickoff. We've already spoke about it being a poor atmosphere. Not a poor atmosphere, that's just not the atmosphere you expect from being a big game when you're third in the league. And a win does so much for us. A lot of people complaining about the performance on Facebook and Twitter, but I thought it was all right. We spoke about it after the game, Lewis. Like, what did you think?
I think it was a weird one because we scored in the second, but I think it was the first half where I thought we played really well. I think we could have maybe taken chances a bit better, but I think in general I was happy with, and obviously at the end of the day we got the 3 points, which is what we've been I guess struggling with recently. So I was happy with it really.
Yeah, what did you think, Lou?
Yeah, I think obviously we said like there's a lot of people calling it a scrappy performance on Facebook and Twitter. But I mean, I don't think so. I think if we take those clear cut chances that we had, particularly in the second half, then it ends up 3-4 nil, and people are coming off saying how well we played. So yeah, I was pretty. I suppose you're always content with a win after that, the run of like, games we've been on, run of results we've had. But with the way we played, I was pretty content coming off.
Yeah, I don't agree with people saying it was a scrappy game at all. I don't think we're ever in danger of losing the game. I think
no.
If we'd have lost, we'd have beat ourselves with like a mistake. It wouldn't have been Cardiff playing as a part.
Yeah.
Like you said, with the chances, if Gallagher scores his header, a hand. Trying to think what the other clear-cut one was.
Diaz, weren't
it? Diaz goes through and shoots at the keeper. And then, like you said, if you come off 3-4 nil, everyone's like, oh, that was a total performance, that playing class.
Yeah.
But because it's only 1-0, I think a lot of people look at the scoreline, don't they?
Yeah.
And say, oh, it must have been boring, that. And I think when you look at the league positions, us being third and Cardiff being down there, you'd expected a high-scoring game. But obviously, you look at the results that we've had over the weekend, the Championship's not like that at all. And people complaining about 1-0 wins at this stage of the season where we are, I'd take another 20 1-0 wins like that.
Yeah, I think
be a bit nervous, like, but I'd definitely take it,
especially in the Championship, where, if you know what I mean, everyone's kind of as good as each other almost, if you know what I mean, and there's not much points in it, so I'd say we got the win and just take it for that, and onwards and upwards, I guess.
Well, I mean, we've played better. I was going to say we've played better and drawn games. We haven't drawn a game yet this year, but we've played better and lost games.
Yeah.
But, yeah, looking at the table, we're only 3 points above Luton in seventh now. And that goes all the way down to... I'm trying to think who realistically could be up there. Like Swansea in 15th on 35, they're only 8 points off us.
Yeah.
So that's like...
It's not much.
It's going to be ridiculous this season.
The way I like have always looked at it, like with the Championship, is like a 6 point gap. So like when you think about how even it is and how easy it is for like a 6 point swing to happen, that's the way I tend to look at it. I think anything more than 6 points, like, it's going to take a significant kind of turn in results of both teams for both groups of teams in the different groups in the league. For something to change.
I just think like sometimes when you drop points, it seems in the Championship that people are catching you up, but then they go through a funny spell. No one ever seems to be like, you've dropped points, but they're constantly chasing you. There'll always be a point where they start dropping points, and your draw or your loss and a win doesn't look as bad because they've only got two draws, or they've drawn one and lost one. So, but yeah, I enjoyed Sunday. Apart from how early it was.
Yeah, I've got to be honest. I didn't. The whole of the first half, I was just sat worrying, so I didn't pay much attention. First off, I was just sat going, "Oh, I'm gonna have to be on." But yeah, it was. Yeah, as I say, we got the win, and I'm happy with it.
But yeah, I think we need a striker. That's the key thing in January. I think I would throw money at, I keep saying it, Victor Gyökeres from Coventry, whilst they're in this position that they're in now, throw money at them, 3-4 million, or maybe Ross Stewart from Sunderland, because he's out of contract in the summer. Would they take a million, 2 million now? Because I think realistically Sunderland are up now. I think they'll survive. Will they go for promotion? Probably not. I don't think they've got a squad depth, and Sims has just gone back to Everton, hasn't he? So he was the leading light, really. We said the other week that when Sims and Stewart score, they win. They've got rid of one of them, then they're even less likely to win now. But there has been rumours that Everton have recalled him to offer him as like a cash-plus-player deal for Brereton Diaz.
Oh,
yeah. What do you think of that? I think that's... would you be happy with that? Would you be willing to accept it at this stage of the season?
I think it would be a bit of a blow to lose him. From Everton's point of view, you can totally understand it. I mean, they're in a really dire situation. They lost 4-1 at home to Brighton last night, didn't they?
I think he'll be gone today, Lampard. I think. By the time this episode comes out, it'll probably be sacked.
I don't think anyone would be too surprised about that if it was to happen, because they lost at home on Boxing Day as well, didn't they?
But then they go away to City and draw 1-1, so like it just doesn't make sense at all. Like, why can't they just play that way against the other teams in the league? Like, Ben Godfrey like looked like Cannavaro next to Haaland, and then the next game he looks like me.
I mean, we know from like past seasons being down there ourselves that you've got to make them those away points count by backing it up with 3 points at home, and if you can't do that, then you're in big trouble. So from their point of view, it could be a case of them pressing the panic button and Diaz departing us, unfortunately.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to sign a new contract now. And I think that there comes a point we need to either try and get some money in before you let him go for a free in the summer. He deserves a Premier League move. He's been good for us, and a lot of people saying, oh, he's been crap recently. He's got like 5 assists in his last 3 games or something stupid like that. Like, he's still playing well for us. And even when we expected him to leave in the summer, like towards when he got the goal away at Blackpool, and we expected him to go on deadline day, he was still putting his all in. And I'll respect him for it, even if he goes now to wherever he goes to. I'd like him to see to go to a more mid-table, secure Premier League team where he actually gets a season to prove himself. I don't really want to see him go to Everton and just be in a dogfight and be in Championship next season, because I just think he deserves better than that. If he could go to like a Crystal Palace or something and spend a season up there playing attacking football where he can get the chance to score some goals. Whereas
West Ham has been the main one, really. I mean, all this time, that's been the main Premier League link. But even they've dropped on the table this season, they're not in the positions that they've been in these last couple of seasons.
You know, they play Leeds away tonight, and I think if they lose that, I mean, it's 5 losses in a row for them. If they lose that tonight, that's Leeds like 5 points clear of them, and they're the teams that. When you're both down there, they're the games that you need to win, aren't they?
Yeah.
Like, not only to get you away, but like drag them down as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think realistically, 5 million and Ellis Sims, I would be happy with. Not because I want to lose Diaz, but because I think what you gain with Sims is probably a 10-15 season goal season striker in the Championship at least. And I think reinvest the 5 million that you get alongside, maybe use that to get some loan players in, maybe probably won't get a permanent signing that changes massively for that amount of money, but if you could use it as like a loan fee for it's difficult, isn't it, because you don't really know who's available without you being linked to them by that time. It's already too late, really.
Yeah.
I mean, Van Eck's still not getting a game at Brighton. He has to, like, you have to be like, asking the question, don't you?
Yeah.
Like, how much to buy him or how much to have him on loan.
I think it'd be a massive boost as well if we were to get him, just because of like the connection he had with the fans last season. As a morale boost, I couldn't think of a better one, really, apart from re-signing Jordan Rutherford.
the ultimate one. Do you drop Ayala to fit Van Eck in? Because Ayala and Haim are playing well at the minute.
But we've spoke about over the last few weeks the squad depth or the lack of. I think to have that other option would be key as the season goes on.
Yeah, I think just to have the option to go 5 at the back and not lose anything by bringing in someone like Van Eck, or if you're playing against quite a quick striker and you could still play a high line with Van Eck at the back with Haim rather than a Ayala dropping off, I think just to have that option helps us massively, especially when you look at the teams at the top of the table, because they're the ones with the fast strikers that get in behind and all the chances are one-on-ones, where even like Cardiff on Sunday, I thought Callum Robinson had a poor game. He usually has an absolute
rally against us. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got a strange beef with us for some reason. No one knows why.
But yeah, we'll go through the championship results that have happened recently. So QPR 1, Sheffield United 1. So that was probably the shock result of the weekend with the form that QPR have been on. And that's what makes our win against Cardiff look so good. When Sheffield United are dropping points against a team that haven't won in so long, it makes our points even more important. Birmingham 1, Middlesbrough 3. I know I slated Middlesbrough the other week saying they're not that good. But they're starting to prove it, that they are actually a decent footballing side, and they probably will get playoffs this season with Carrick. I thought they were lucky against us with the red card, and lucky against was it Luton that got 10 men, but I think whether Birmingham are a downward swing, I'm not sure. Norwich 0, Watford 1. Norwich are appointing David Wagner for the new manager. I think that's a good appointment. It's better than Steve Bruce.
Definitely better than Steve Bruce, but I think at the same time is a bit of a risk. I think obviously he did well with Huddersfield, but I think when you look at the options that are available to Norwich, like with the success they've had in the Championship, he's like, over the last few years, I think, well, maybe they could have appointed someone better.
Yeah, I just think, like, is it that much of a change from Dean Smith?
Yeah,
like they've both only really had success in the Championship. It's not like they've gone out and got, I don't really know an example of a manager who's done well elsewhere. But yeah, it could be a risk. But I think if they're going to spend a few years in the Championship, then it is a good appointment. But realistically, I don't think they want to do that. I think they want to go this season.
That's how he was successful at Huddersfield. It was a project. When you're hearing that word at the minute from JD2. Project.
People get annoyed about that, but what are they expected to say? Like, oh yeah, we're absolutely class for going up. Like, realistically, we are a project. We're a young team. Like, we've got young players. I don't know what people want him to say. Like, I'd rather him say it's a project than him say, oh, we're crap at minute. Like, he has no hope for the future.
I think, like, for me and for most Rovers fans, most honest Rovers fans would like accept that we're still, with the young players that we've got, we're still 2 or 3 years off from seriously. I know we're third in the league, but there is still a big gulf between us and the top two, and that's where you want to be, obviously. I still think we're 2 or 3 years off, and we need, obviously, the young players to develop and Greg to work his magic in the
Greg starts to shine. But yeah, I know what you mean. I spoke to Yatesy about the other night. I said, if we did get in the playoffs and if we did get promoted, could it be too soon? Like,
definitely.
I mean, are we going to go up and do a derby with this? I mean, we'll obviously invest in the summer, but it's whether you do that investment right. If you do like a Forest and spend 200 million and, I mean, they're doing all right, but they're not 100% safe.
Well, it's whether you take that risk, isn't it? Obviously, Fulham, you know, it's kind of like, I guess, a third time lucky because they're in a brilliant season now, but the first two times went up, you know, they invested a lot of money in the squad and it didn't pay off because they got relegated and easily relegated, really.
Yeah, and that's a strange, I mean, you could say, like, it's a 5-year plan, like promotion, relegation, like, use the parachute payments well, use the TV money well, and in 5 years' time, you'll be in a good position to be a mid-table Premier League team. But we know what football fans are like. In the off chance we get the playoffs, get promoted, if we get beat the first 10 games, they'll be asking for that project to be finished, and that's this, we'll be getting Allardyce back to try and keep us back or something dreadful like that. So yeah, it could be too soon. Obviously, everyone wants to go up, everyone wants to win the playoffs, everyone wants to do well. It's just the future that brings is quite scary when you look how thin our squad is at the minute.
The short term future, I think. Go on, Jacob.
I think the best thing is to almost, if you get what I'm saying, play the long game a bit more. So when we are, if we are promoted in say a couple of seasons, then we've built up the squad and stuff like that to give it a bit more of a challenge, I guess.
It's not just the squad that needs building up; the whole club needs building up. I mean, look at like we had 12,000 on against Cardiff. I mean, if you're up there and competing, like if we get the playoffs this year, you need to have like 17,000-18,000 on for the playoffs, and then you need to hope that then people come back and then. You get up to like 21,000-22,000, and that's when you can start investing in the squad, and that's when realistically you're not going to get promoted with a stadium that's a third full, or if you get promoted on the last game of the season with 15,000 on, then the first game in Prem you got 31,000 in ground.
Yeah,
it just looks a bit daft, really.
Yeah, but it's about how you. I mean, we've spoke about it. Since we started the podcast,
how do you
encourage that? I think we spoke about, me and Dad spoke about the other day, like the three Christmas games, the Forest Cup game, and the two home games in the league. Could that not have been a bundle?
Definitely. The Middlesbrough and the Cardiff game could have easily been both games for £30, and. People would have bought a ticket, and then they might have watched the first one and gone, I'm not really interested in going to that game, but they still already paid something towards, or like £25 a ticket for both games. So you're losing out on £20 for the majority, but then you might also be gaining £5,000 that might not go to either or game because it's in midweek or because it's New Year's Day or whatever. I think there is more that they could do, but like you said, how do they go about it? How do they change that? And I think that the actual match day experience is getting better, like Jacob said about the fan zone, and we wanted the bar outside, that's working well now. I just think, so I got a text the other day off Rovers asking for what did you think of the match day experience against Cardiff. I didn't rate it highly at all. I got in at like 11:45, so obviously it was late, it was early kickoff. I went to the concourse at like the very right hand side of the Blackburn end, so that's like the first ticket turnstile I get to. Ordered pie and hot chocolate, but like for me to then walk to our block, I always go up the stairs and walk down the front of the Blackburn end rather than walking through the concourse because people just stand wherever they want. There should be like, I don't want like specific standing sections of the concourse, but I don't. I just think there should be like a clear walkway in the concourse, like just to get to the toilet. Like,
it sounds like such a Karen era.
It sounds really boring. It sounds like really, I don't want sections taped off, but I just think like there should be certain places where everyone congregates. And it seems like if you go downstairs at Block N04 where we are, if you turn left or right to go to the toilet, it takes you like 5 minutes and the door is literally there. Like, it's just because people are just stood, and like no one wants to stand next to like a men's toilet. Like, it's disgusting. Bad enough standing in them whilst you're having a wee, but like to stand next to them whilst you're having a drink and a hot dog, I just think that's grim.
Yeah.
And then I said about Sweet Caroline as well. That was the other thing that slated in the matchday experience. Yeah. So like, I think Zach Bannon tweeted something like he's got himself praying for an away team equaliser at last minute, so we don't have to hear it. I've not gone that far yet, but yeah, just so many options. Why don't we do a vote? Why don't we do a vote where people can like ask what they want for, like, and then we'll do like a little Champions League. We might do it on the podcast. We'll do like 16 songs, and then we'll do a group stage, semi-finals, final, and we'll see what song they want played at full time.
There's definitely like a growing sense of like, hatred toward
but like people I've noticed people are leaving quicker now because like when we won big games last year, people were like staying like the NO5 block and the NO1 block, like staying behind to celebrate with the team. now people are like running down the stairs because they don't want to sing Long Sweet Caroline or just like get me out of this place. But yeah, that needs changing, but they are doing bits better. It's just that like, we need to carry that on.
For the post-match song when we win.
I've got to be honest, I hate Sweet Caroline as a song, so you know, it's not my favourite. I guess, maybe even just mix it up a bit. I don't know how it would work, but have a few different things or something like that. Or as you say, a vote would be good because it's giving people chance to say what they want. Maybe have it every few months or something, just so you're keeping things fresh, I guess.
Yeah.
What would your pick be, Lewis?
I think that's a good idea from Jacob. Like, kind of like, maybe like change it every time, mix it up a bit. I think obviously like there's a cliche ones in like One Step Beyond, and that like works really well. So that would probably like off the top of my head, that probably my pick. But I don't know. Like sometimes like you get like the best response, like from something just completely random. Like, I remember when. Last season when Celtic beat Rangers in the Old Firm at Celtic Park and they played Roll With It. Like a song that was like very little to do with Celtic, but like it was like 60,000 people singing along to it.
Yeah.
So it's like something random, it just like
that's only played at the Old Firm when Celtic win because Celtic won the famous semi final where they were like writing on the pitch and they played that full time. That's like the other link to it, but I know what you mean. Like, Sweet Caroline has no identity. Like, we're not connected to Sweet Caroline whatsoever. So I don't. No one associates themselves with. Well, I hope they don't. But yeah, I'm just not like you said. Maybe like the Player of the Month picked it. Like he came on and said, "Oh, this is my favorite song. I'm gonna play this when we win at full time." And I don't know, just anything but this. Right, so back to the results. Stoke nil, Preston 1. Tom said Stoke were awful, and then he was texting us at the ground, and they've scored. And I was like, oh, Stoke? No, Preston. I was like, oh my God.
And they've scored,
And they've scored. Swansea 1, Burnley 2. Right, less said about that, the better. West Brom 1, Reading 0. Wigan 1, Hull 4. That's Wigan's third 4-1 defeat in a row. And we play them very soon, which means they're going to beat us 1-0. I'm sure of it. Blackpool 1, Sunderland 1. Coventry 1, Bristol City 1. Huddersfield 1, Luton 2. I thought that's a poor result for Huddersfield given the run they were on. Millwall 3, Rotherham 0. I think Rotherham had more or less down now. And then obviously Blackburn 1, Cardiff 0. So if you look at our upcoming fixtures after the FA Cup against Norwich.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
We've got Rotherham away. Like, given the run they're on, realistically, we should win that. Bristol City away, who are also down there and not playing great at the minute. And then it's Blackpool at home and then Wigan at home. So then four games. I mean, minimum's 9 points, really, isn't it?
You never know what you like to think, wouldn't you?
Yeah. I mean, we're not going to draw, so it's either a win or a lose against all of them. But I think you've got to win both your home games there and then win any of the away games would be a good return. I'd like to see us win all four games just where the positions are in. But like you said, in the Championship, you do never know. And then after that, we've got Watford. But yeah, the Norwich game this weekend for the Cup. Are we going full strength or are we going under 21s?
I think we'll go under 21s again, like just for the Forest game, personally.
Quite, not, yeah.
You don't think he'll, with it being a Saturday game, not a midweek game, you don't think he'll
match well, the Sunday game and move to the to Sunday itself.
Yeah, a weekend game.
Yeah. I think I saw a quote from him on Twitter the other day where it was like, I think it was something about with the break from the league, something, because it's time to like recuperate, something along those lines. It just made me think, oh, it's going to play a weekend team.
I mean, do we have enough under 21s to fill the team? Well, I've pers it now. I think Rankin Costello will stay at right back, so we don't have another Phillips, Scott Wharton, left back, Batty. Can Batty play left back? Is he fit? And then two centre mids will be Teo Eden. Or he might play Eden at left back.
Yeah.
Adam Wharton could come back in. Clinton Moller could play left back and then in the centre mid.
Oh, and then you four up front. Moller at left back again.
and then Jack Vale should be back to play up front, shouldn't he? He was on the bench on Sunday, so hopefully that should be his first game back.
If he is fit, it'd be good to see him, because obviously, you know, he was like pushing into the side like, before he picked up an injury, so something to look forward to.
That'd be another,
get ready for the game.
Another good option to have.
Yeah.
Right, so we're back with, I was going to say the 1 to 10 quiz, but we've only got 6 questions. So, Jacob.
Oh, no.
The quiz works by you pick a number between 1 and 6. You get the question that you pick. So I ask the question, if you get it first time without the options, you get 2 points. But if you get it with the options, you only get 1 point. So you can ask for the options, if that makes sense. Do you want to go first or do you want to go second?
I will go second.
Nah, okay, Lewis. Just pick a number between 1 and 6.
Let's go number 4.
Number 4. Which Premier League club have Rovers faced the most times in the FA Cup?
Premier League club. It's not really worth going for options, is it? You go back through the years, don't you?
We've not had that many FA Cup games over the years, so.
Not the last few years, anyway. I'll go for options then.
Is it A, Liverpool, B, Arsenal, C, West Ham, or D, Newcastle?
That's good that I didn't go for what I was thinking.
What was you thinking? What was your first guess going to be?
Aston Villa. Just remember, there was those few years where we got them in every cup draw. We got Arsenal.
No, it's D, Newcastle. Arsenal have played 8 times. Newcastle have played 11 times. Oh. Right, Jacob, any number apart from 4?
I'll go for 2.
2. Who did Rovers finish runners-up to in the 1960 FA Cup final?
Oh, I'm not going to lie, I have absolutely... That was a few years before my
before
time.
Before your time.
That was a few years before I was around.
Just a few.
Yeah, I whatever I say will be a complete guess. Go for the options.
Is it A, Bolton, B, Preston North End, C, Huddersfield, or D, Wolves?
I've got the options. Let's go for Bolton.
No, do you know it, Lewis?
Wolves.
Yeah, it was Wolves, yeah. Right, Lewis, any number apart from 2 and 4?
3.
Who scored the penalty at Ewood against Leicester in 2005 to send us to the semi-finals of the FA Cup?
Let's see. 2005.
Everyone's screaming. Screaming at the YouTube and the podcast now.
I've got an idea, but I'll go for the options again.
Is it A, Paul Dickoff, B, Robbie Savage, C, Lucas Neal, or D, Morten Gams Pedersen?
See, that's made it awkward now.
Who did you think it was?
No. My option's in there. My idea is in there, but there was someone else who took a lot of penalties for Rovers. So I'm going to go for him, Lucas Neal.
It was Paul Dickoff.
God, see, that was my idea.
Right, Jacob, 1, 5, or 6?
Let's go for 6.
Whose goal was ruled out for offside in the last minute of the FA Cup tie against Manchester United in 2017?
I actually can picture it in my head. You're going to have to give me the options, but I can picture it.
Was it A, Danny Graham, B, Anthony Stokes, C, Liam Feeney, or D, Conor Mahoney?
I can remember, if I'm remembering rightly, I swear, what was it? Was it Romero in there? And it bounced off him about 3 times, and then I think.
What were the options, Rob?
A, Danny Graham, B, Tony Stokes, C, Liam Feeney, or D, Conor Mahoney?
I think it were any of them. I had two players in my mind that were involved with the move. I don't think it were any of them.
I can't. You say I'm very bad at this. I've got a Danny Graham, why not?
No, it was B, Tony Stokes. Who did you think it was, Lewis?
I seem to think it was Emnes and Conway. I can't remember the order. Emnes had the first shot, and then
Emnes headed it down, and it fell to Stokes, and then he tapped it in. But it was past the keeper. I don't know how he ended up there.
Conway that put it in.
No, it was Tony Stokes. Right, Lewis, 5 or 1?
5.
Who was the only player to miss for Liverpool in last year's FA Cup final penalty shootout?
Guess what
happens
again? Lost it.
Was it A, Trent Alexander-Arnold, B, Thiago, C, Jota, or D, Mane?
What are the first two options?
Trent Alexander-Arnold or B, Thiago Alcantara. Thiago Alcantara.
Mane.
Have you just googled it?
No.
Yeah, you cheating git. Sorry for this, Jacob. Jacob,
you've won.
you're left with the number one question, which is a tough one. So.
Oh, I've got no chance.
So Bradley Dack scored the winner on the first day of 2023, wearing the number 23 shirt. Which current Burnley player was the last player to score at Ewood on New Year's Day, wearing the shirt number of the new year?
Oh, I don't know the Blackburn questions. Never mind the Burnley ones.
God, I didn't think that.
I have got the year of the new year.
Yeah, was his shirt number?
Right. Oh, my brain won't even do the maths. Right. I tell you what, I'll give you the options and I will say a random one.
A, Ashley Barnes, B, J. Rodriguez, C, Howard Bellis, or D, Josh Brownhill.
I'm trying to think what year we're even at. Right, we're in 20, it's not 23, so we know that. I'm just going to think who's going to be. Ah, it's got J. Rodriguez.
Correct.
Was it actually? Oh.
No way.
He was wearing the number 19 shirt on New Year's Day in 2019 when we beat West Brom 2-1.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, he got that one right. So it's 1-1, so we're going to a tiebreaker.
Oh, so. I hope everything's working.
Yeah, I think so. It's uploading, yeah. So it should be.
All right, nice one.
So the tiebreaker question, do you want to go first or second?
I'm going to lose either way. I'll go second.
Right, Lewis, what was the attendance for the FA Cup tie against Manchester United in 2017?
Pretty good, weren't it? It was like mid. It's like the closest thousand, would you say?
Well, the closest to it. Like,
closest to it.
I've got the actual number, so whoever gets closest mid wins. 20,000,
right? I'm gonna go for 25,500.
So 25,500.
Yeah, something like that.
Jacob, do you think it was higher or lower than that?
Oh, I'll go higher. I'll go. It's got 27.
No, Lewis, you're the winner. 23,130.
What was that?
Oh, so we only had six questions, which is probably the reason why it's so low scoring. I'll make the excuses for you, I suppose.
Thank you. Yeah, that is the reason. Yeah,
Jacob would have won it.
The other four questions, I knew the answers to every single
that's
one
us
of them.
For another episode, thank you. Thank you, Jacob, for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Best of luck. We'll link all the Jacob channels and all the Jacob links in the YouTube video and the podcast description for you. And we will hopefully see new upcoming things in the future.
Yeah, listen to Ewood Lights. Buy it in the pub shop if you can. And follow Jacob on all his social media and follow the podcast and all our social media. And yeah, we'll see you next time.
Thank you very much for having me.
No worries. Thank you, Jacob. See you in a bit.
Thank you. See ya.
See you later.
Podcast Network.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.